Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this act by color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I'll discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Greetings to my listening audience out there. Hope you all are enjoying this day. Hope today finds you doing well. Of course, you know we are at the beginning of what they call Black History Month. And those of you all who out there celebrate it, you know, hey, do your thing. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, random insults, trolling, things of that sort. If you come on this show and you feel like you want to engage in those type of activities, I would advise you now to drop yourself from this show, because I will be happy to oblige you. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just come here and have an attitude of respect when you interact on this show. Enough said about that. As you all heard, I just said, this is the beginning of Black History Month. Of course, this is the for lack of a better word, instituted in order to remember the accomplishments of those in this country who are of the black race, and this is to, you know, who have passed on, excuse me, you know, to remember their accomplishments and their contributions to black society. Black History Month is not something I celebrate personally. I have nothing against anybody who does. I feel like Black History Month is a part of all history, and it can be learned all year long, you know, and not only is Black History Month not only is it relegated to one month, it's relegated to the shortest month of the year. So, and you know, and I'm just being frank here. When I grew up, you know, and they started teaching us Black History Month in school, I really didn't favor it that much, because I was like, oh boy, here we go with this again, you know, and everything. I'm not saying that people should not celebrate it. And I'm not saying that something's wrong with you if you do. If you do, you do you. But, you know, I don't like when people think that because I'm a black person that I should be celebrating Black History Month. You know, that's, you know, that's your thing. You do you, I'll do me, you know. So, but anyway, as the world turns, things have grown out of the story of the five cops that have been charged with beating up on Tyre Nichols. This story surprisingly to me gained a lot of attention because usually when you have instances of black on black crime, it really doesn't garner a lot of attention, and that's exactly what this is. This is a case of black on black crime. You know, these five officers, they were accused of beating Tyre Nichols to death, and I watched the video, and what they did was uncalled for. And let me get to my, I think I need to go to my Facebook page right quick. And if you all hear any background noise, that's my wife once again yelling at the TV, which is her thing. There's been a development. Another officer has been relieved of duty, and I think it's two more officers. And I didn't know this until, you know, I looked it up and whatever. And it seems that three paramedics were fired from their jobs because of how they quote unquote handled this entire situation. And I'm sitting there like, well, why did they fire the paramedics? You know, I mean, what did they have to do with it? I guess they felt like they didn't provide Mr. Nichols with the appropriate care that he should have had, or I really don't know. But one of the officers is a white guy, and they relieved him of duty. And this was the guy, if you watch the video, he's the one that initially tased Tyre Nichols. But Tyre Nichols somehow escaped the grasp of these police officers. After him, but the white guy, he lagged behind because, you know, he was out of breath. But the officers, they chased him down, and that's when, you know, the beating began. Now, my thing is this. Now, I could be wrong. And those of you all who know me know I don't, you know that I could, if I'm wrong, I'm going to admit to it. But I think this is why that police the duty. Certain powers that be among the apostles of blackness, they were wondering why this guy wasn't charged as well as the other officers. You know, why, you know, he wasn't straight up fired. They just said relieved of duty. I thought relieved of duty, you were fired, but apparently I was wrong with that one. The Ben Crooks and the Jesse Jacksons and Al Sharptons and whoever, they're wondering why this white officer was not fired and convicted along with the other officers. And, you know, first of all, this officer was not, he was not among the other officers that beat this man to death. They say, well, he tased him. Okay, well, people get tased all the time. You know, But see, I think the reason why development has come to pass is because usually when you hear a story like this and it makes national news about a officer killing a black person, it usually involves a white officer. And so I believe that, you know, they want to stick to the narrative that it's the white police officers that are killing black people. And, you know, I sincerely believe that that's why they brought this other officer into the fray, because, you know, we gotta hold this narrative that white officers are killing off black people, when on average, I think about 23 black people get killed by police officers every year. That doesn't sound like a genocide to me, but of course, you know, when you play it up on the news and when you're mentally lazy and intellectually lazy, you'll believe that type of stuff. But they wanted to bring this up, you know, I sincerely believe they wanted to bring this cop into the fray because they want to say, hey, we got a white guy here, you know, now it fits the narrative. But here's the thing that gets me. You all notice that it seems like certain crimes get all the media attention more than others. You know, usually the story that gets the attention is when a white cop kills a black person. That gets the media attention. And everyone's like, oh, Black Lives Matter. Oh, these guys are members of the KKK. They couldn't say this about these five black officers. But the narrative is that racism in our police officers, in our police force in the U.S. runs so deep that it even affects the black police officers. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. What? So what they're trying to say is that black police officers, influenced by the white supremacy that is so-called prevalent in the police force, which is stupid, you know, it really is. You know, how in the world are you going to blame these guys for pushing a white racist narrative when they're black? I mean, it's like inquiring minds want to know. And we really need to think about what we've been thinking about. Come to think of you all, excuse me if I sound like I'm kind of off today. I'm slightly distracted right now. I'm trying to pull up a story on my Facebook page, and this was a story I pulled up from Yahoo, which, like I said before, is not really a reliable source of news. You know, a lot of times I just go to Yahoo to see what they're talking about. And I pulled up this article the other day. This is dated January the 30th, 2023. And it's from a site called The Conversation. It says, black police officers aren't colorblind. They're infected by the same anti-black bias as American society and police in general. What anti-black bias in American society? Can someone see? This is a question I've been asking for almost 14 years on this program. What anti-black bias in American society? I mean, show it to me. And this article is written by Rashad Shabazz, associate professor at the School of Social Transformation, Arizona State University. And let's see. Well, they have an introductory, they have several introductory paragraphs. I'm going to skip those. It says, what could influence black police officers to savagely beat a black motorist? Policing in the U.S. has, from its inception, treated black people as domestic enemies. Let me go on, you know. From the slave patrols, which some historians consider to be among the nation's earliest forms of policing, to the murder of George Floyd and now the death of Nichols, law enforcement officers often have viewed black people as what sociologist and civil rights activist W.E.B. Du Bois in The Souls of Black Folk called a problem. American society assumes that black people are prone to criminality and therefore should be subject to state power in the form of policing or, in some cases, vigilantism, as in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. This is a link deeply woven into American consciousness, and black people are not immune. In this way, the long-held targeting of black men by police and widely held negative beliefs about them are a powerful cocktail that can compel even black officers to stop, detain, and brutally beat a man who looks just like them. So once again, they're still trying to inject race into this thing. Still trying to inject race into it. You know, forget the fact, you know, about black on black crime and things of that sort. Forget that, you know. But they say that the reason why that those police officers beat Tyre Nichols to death was because they were affected by white supremacy. That's basically what they're saying. So basically, they're white, they're black men who wear white hoods. Article continues. Could their actions have been motivated by anti-black bias? It's hard to investigate the minds of the officers who beat Nichols so savagely and say for sure what motivated them. But there is ample research that suggests anti-blackness is a factor in American policing, and black officers, agents of an institutionally racist system, are affected by this. Anti-blackness affects black people too. And this might explain why black officers exhibit more anti-black bias than the black population as a whole. Now, I'd love to see what this research is. And really, I think this is just a made-up talking point, made-up rhetoric, you know, just to keep the fires of racism burning. I really do believe that. To comprehend this, we have to take a step back and think about race. Stuart Hall, a cultural theorist, described race as a sign. When we look at skin color or people as racialized subjects, they signify something to us. Sounds like I don't know what they're talking about there. Black people in this society and in other parts of the world, for many, signify danger, threat, and criminality. And as a result, institutions like the criminal justice system respond to their perceived threat with profiling, harassment, and violence. Our surprise that five black police officers could brutalize another black man indicates we have impoverished understanding of race and racism in this country. Oh, boy, I tell you. What does Tyre Nichols' death mean for calls to diversify policing? Policing has been diversified. What do they mean, diversify policing? It's been diversified. For years, elected officials, activists, and citizens have been making calls to reform policing. Now, let me stop right there. I do believe there needs to be some reform in our policing system. I do. You might disagree with me. That's okay. But I do believe there needs to be some reform. too many police officers take their, you know, they let that badge and that gun go to their head, and they feel like if you don't obey their commands and everything, they gotta get rough with you and everything and stuff like that, you know. Now some situations call for roughness. I do not deny that some situations do call for roughness, but some of them, you know, you might sneeze wrong or something. They throwing you on the ground and, you know, put your hands behind your back or something, you know, some crazy mess like that. Man, I don't know why I can't get it together today. But anyway, many have said bringing more people from ethnically diverse backgrounds onto police forces would go a long way toward correcting institutional racism in the criminal justice system. Okay, so we've already diversified. We got diversity in the police system. So why are you still crying institutional racism? It's been diversified. For real. But you still want to cry racism. And this is only a tactic used by the apostles of blackness to keep the racial fires burning. They attacked that kid because he was black. And because they were affected by the police, by institutional racism in the police force, that's why they attacked that boy, because they don't like themselves. They're black and they don't like other black people, you know. Sounds like the same accusations that are made against people like myself when we get up here and we start talking about the wrongs in black society. Okay. All right, Sarge. I see you there. I see you there. Yeah, I got you. But let me continue with this article. The final report of the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing, commissioned through an executive order by President Barack Obama, called for law enforcement agencies to strive to create a workforce that encompasses a broad range of diversity, including race, gender, language, life experience, and cultural background to improve understanding and effectiveness. So let me be clear. We need more diversity in our police force. One recent study concluded that black and Hispanic police officers make fewer traffic stops and use force less often than their white counterparts. Oh, for real. I wonder why they make fewer traffic stops and use force less often than their white counterparts. But of course, you're not saying that with this story here. You're saying that the black police officers suffer from racism just like the white police officers do. But at the same time, black and brown police officers live in the same culture that sees black people as criminals and threats. So simply having more officers of color doesn't do enough to fix the problem. And some time ago, I saw a video where some black guys, they were talking about, you know, black police officers and, you know, black police officers killing black folks. And they were like, well, these black police officers, they're intimidated of the white police officers, and that's why they do this. In other words, they're comfort dogs, using a term from a guy named Warren on Blog Talk Radio. These black officers are black comfort dogs to the white police officers. Basically. So they suffer from the same racism that their white counterparts suffer from. How does seeing video of another black man brutalized by police, this time black officers, affect black people? Now see that now here they're about to go into this thing where they see black people as a monolith, and they talk like what affects one black person affects all black people. They're about to go in, and I sense that with this question. Let me go on. Over the past decade, videos of black people killed at the hands of police officers have filled social media and news sites. I, for one, cannot watch them because they terrify me and amplify fears for my safety and that of my family and friends. Basically, they told, like, that's all black people. All of us are scared of the police. I'm not scared of them. I watched about 30 seconds of the black police officers pummeling Nichols and couldn't take any more. I know I'm not alone. Studies tell us that police killings of unarmed black people are psychologically traumatizing events for black people. What kind of horror should be traumatizing to the nation? But if black is the sign of danger and criminality, who will have empathy for the Tyle Nicholses of the world? And that's the end of the article. But I'm telling you all that, you know, this stuff, you know, it really boggles the mind when you hear, you know, articles like when you read articles like this. And they're basically saying, oh, those officers, they're racist too. They got the same anti-black bias as anybody. And see that, and things like that, anything that affects a black person in a negative way, racism has got to be behind it. Everything that happens to black people in this country is because of white folks. And if you're a black person and you're seeing through all this and you want to see the truth, you want to see the facts, you're part of the problem according to the apostles of blackness. Because you're a black comfort dog for the, you know, for the white supremacists. People like myself, we get it all the time. Oh, you're just trying to kiss up to the white man. Kiss up to the white man, how do you do that? Oh, you're just trying to be white. How do you try to be white? Someone tell me how it is to be white. Tell me how to try to be white. Oh, you repeating the same narrative that the white racists are. What same narrative am I repeating? See, they accuse you of these things, but they can't bring up evidence. They can't bring up evidence. They'll sit there and say, oh, you sound just like the white supremacist. Okay, tell me how I sound like a white supremacist. Oh, well, you say this and you say that. Well, how does that make me a white supremacist? And they give you a vague answer, you know. They give you a vague answer about, you know, why you sound like a white supremacist and all this and everything. Because they are so caught up in their own feelings that they think if you don't think exactly like they do, something is wrong with you. If you are black and you're not following the same anti-white rhetoric that all the other black people are following. And I say it ad nauseum that I am a free thinking black man. You know, I've been accused of being put up by white people. White people put me up to this. No one's ever put me up to this. When I started this show, I didn't plan it with anybody. I didn't plan it with no white people, no black people, no one else. It was me, myself, and I that planned this show. I am the producer. I'm the director. Every position I need to, you know, run this radio program, I'm the only one who does it. When people make this accusation that, oh, you're just doing this because white people put you up to it, there ain't no white people put me up to this. I just see what's going on in the world, and I want to speak my mind about what I see going on in the world. And, you know, some of these people, you can talk to them until you're blue in the face. They still, oh, no, you're still anti-black. Why do you hate black people? Why do you hate your own race? I've had people ask me that question for years. Why do you hate your own race? Give me an indication that I hate my race. Well, the talking points. Okay, tell me the talking points then. and they can't give you an answer. They start shuffling and moonwalking like Michael Jackson around your question, but they can't give you a straight answer. That's a problem I had with this guy named Warren a few weeks ago. Now he's going around telling people that I backstabbed him and that I slandered him. No, he was the backstabber and the slanderer, because when he asked me about my program and I told him about my program, he still wanted to go back to his talking points, to his rhetoric. And then he said, Vincent slandered me. And they want to play that song by the Spinners, Backstabber. Is it the Spinners, the OJs? I think it's the OJs. I didn't slander him at all. If anyone was slandered, it was me. Because he said, you know, we got these black by color only comfort dogs, you know. And then he made several accusations against me, saying that I said that I'm not a conservative. What I said was, I don't like to identify as a conservative. I like to identify as a born-again Christian. And then he went on to say that Vincent says he doesn't understand history, but he's going to sit up here and act like I never said I don't understand history. I said I'm not a history buff. I'm not as up to speed on history as a lot of other people are, but that doesn't mean I don't know any history. Then he continues lying, saying that I took offense to him when he suggested some books for me to read. I didn't take offense to him at all. I took no offense at all. I've had people ask me to read books for years. I don't take offense to it at all. And I don't know where he gets that from. But see, people like him, those are the very people that is what's wrong with the black race today. You got to be blackity black. You got to be black. Why are you always talking about black people? And I told him why I talk about black people. Now, if I got on this show and I talked about nothing but white people, they would have no problem with it. They wouldn't say, why are you always talking about white people? But see, they don't, they get triggered because they don't want to hear black people being, they don't want to hear black people being associated with anything negative. But anybody knows me, I'll talk about black folk, I'll talk about white folk. But the reason why I talk about black folks is because I understand history. I understand the Jim Crow laws and everything. And I'm sitting here, I'm seeing black people saying, okay, white people, at one time you hated us, so we're going to turn around and hate you back. And I'm like, hey, y'all don't do the same thing that racist white people did. And given it was not all white people, it wasn't most white people. But see, when you explain this to them, they still want to fall back on their rhetoric. They don't want to agree to disagree. They just want to stay right there. You tell them what you're about, and it's like they don't hear a thing you say. But then they'll turn around. They'll turn around and say, oh, you're just trying to play up to the white man. Stay right there. Who is that? Shabaka Black Expenhanced. Just stay right there. Bear with me. I got to get some things out right now. But stay with me. I see you there. But like I tell people, and I say it ad nauseum, I am a free thinking black person. No white person puts me up to do this. I have not since day one of starting this program back in 2009, I have not received one thin red dime from anybody. Not one person has given me a dime to say what I'm saying on this show. But some of you all out there, you know, apostles of blackness, you want to be about everything black, you still want to sit there and say that white people are putting me up to do this. White people ain't putting me up to do this. Not one white person put me up to do this. This is something I've done on my own. And no, it has nothing to do with my education. It has nothing to do with some northern white, you know, northern white European rhetoric. I happen to have a good mind on me. And I can observe the world and I can come to my own conclusions by myself without anyone influencing my thought process. That's why I talk the way I do. But once again, the apostles of blackness, they don't understand that. They can't understand why a black person can sit here and talk the way he does. How come he's not joining with the rest of the black gang? Well, first of all, I'm a born-again Christian. And as a born-again Christian, one thing I understand, and I get this from the book of Genesis, that I am a human being. And whether we are black, white, red, yellow, olive, whatever, we have all been made in the image of God. And God has no big U's or little I's or whatever. We are all made in God's image. That's why I don't like to get hung up on race. Race is what's dividing this country today, along with the liberal rhetoric that's being pushed across the board. Excuse me. That's what's dividing us today. And every time things seem to calm down, here comes a member of the apostles of blackness stirring that fire up again. Stir this fire up again. Can't let this die. We got to keep this ahead of us. Let me pull up this quote by Booker T. Washington. I've quoted this before, and someone said, "Oh, Booker T. Washington didn't say that. He didn't say that." Yes, he did. Now, this is Booker T. Washington. "There is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public." Let me pull up this other quote by Booker T. Washington. Of course, you know, people say, "I need to read books, read this book." One of my favorite books I read was Up From Slavery. This is another quote by Booker T. Washington. "There is another class of colored people, okay, black folks, who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs." He's talking about black people here. Now, a lot of you all out there, y'all say, you know, Booker T. Washington, he was about upholding the Negro man. Yes, he was. I don't deny that. But on the other hand, he's like, "Look, you all, we can't sit here and hold on to these grievances. We need to go forward." But our so-called black leaders, every time they hear of a black person being killed by the police or a white person killing a black person, here they come, the ambulance chasers, the Ben Crumps and the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons and the William Barbers. They come out of the woodwork to have their say because they know they are going to get paid. And that's the only reason why they come out. Now, you all can argue with me about it all you want to, but that's what Booker T. Washington said. There is another class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. I didn't quote that. Well, I did quote it, but I'm not the originator of that quote. It was Booker T. Washington. And you can argue with me about it all you want to. That's what he said. Now, you might be like, well, Vincent, I thought you were talking about these five police officers. Well, that's led me here because, see, a lot of people think if a black person does something negative to another black person, it's because of white supremacy. You know, they talk about the black-on-black crime that's going on, and they say, oh, there's no black-on-black crime. There's no black-on-black crime. You know, and the reason why we're fighting each other like this is because of white supremacy. No, that's an excuse. Because you're not going to sit there and tell me that white people are so powerful they can actually dig into our minds and get us to do things that we don't want to do. Which makes me wonder why people even talk about black power. Black power, yeah. So when you say black power, are you talking about the raised fist or the limp wrist? I'm just asking. Let me do this. Let me do this. I'm doing this a little early, but sometimes the fruit bats come out real early too. So that's my fruit bat alarm. Those of you all been on this show, you know what that means. That means I'm about to go to the phones. And if you are a person who wants to indulge in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, random insults, gaslighting, things of that sort, you'd best hang up right now or I will be happy to do it for you. Okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be agreeable in your comments. You know, and sometimes we're not, hey, we can sit here and talk and we may not come to a mutual agreement or something. We might still have a different point of view. That's fine. But I don't need the insults and the distractions and everything. But having said all that, let me go to the phones.
Good evening to you, brother. How are you? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to welcome you to the show.
Okay, and thank you for having me, and this is the first time I appeared on your show. My name is Shabaka Sankore. I'm the executive producer of the podcast, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and we deal with the black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. Now, and I think I've heard you a couple of times, my brother. Now, if we do have a disagreement, just like on my podcast, I ask that if we disagree, let us please disagree agreeably, because, you know, I'm not going to disrespect you in your platform. Black on black crime, you know, is a serious issue in the black community. Now, and of course, you know, the situation down there in Memphis, then of course, you know, the situation with Rodney King out in Los Angeles is because I was based out of Los Angeles one time. And our platform is based out of Oakland, California. It was started by the 50th anniversary commemorating the Black Panther Party, in which they advocated, you know, self-defense against brutality with the Second Amendment. But as you know, in the great state of California, man, that senile president, who was the 40th president, he used to be senile when he was the governor of California that signed the Mulfer Act, so which means it makes it illegal for you to have a firearm in your possession out in public. But I believe you're in the Carolinas. And I think you guys are a Second Amendment state. I believe Georgia is a Second Amendment state. I know Montana and Idaho is. But what it is, though, brother, that I think he was quoting Booker T. Washington, Up From Slavery, I believe, his publication earlier. Okay, so what it is that we do have the capabilities, we do have the educational capacity, we do have the buying power to become self-sufficient, okay? Because let's look at how greatly we have contributed to the gross national product of the United States, the gross national product of France, the gross national product of England, the gross national product of the Netherlands, and, you know, through the slave labor. Then not to mention the fact of where all these industrial powers of where they get their raw materials from, once again, comes from the continent of Africa, the bauxite, the tungsten, the silicon, you see what I mean? And, of course, gold, minerals, diamonds, and the beat goes on and on and on. But due to these, how should I say, these neo-colonialists who are carbon copies of the colonialists out of Europe, as we stated, Portugal, France, Great Britain, the Netherlands, and the Spanish. And it's quite essential for us as a people, in my opinion, for us to become self-sufficient, the wealth that we produce. I mean, look at Dr. Carter G. Woodson says, you know, in his book about the miseducation of the Negro. The Negro is taught to admire the Greek. He's taught to love the European, but he is taught to despise the African. You see what I'm saying? So which means is that he is taught systemically to hate himself. And Apostle, I tell you, if you want to hear some fireworks, man, you know, when you get a minute, man, listen to some of the backtracks of my episodes, man, because sometimes we go off the hook and, you know, we welcome all spectrums, you know, to come about. But currently, you know, I was speaking to a friend of mine recently that I've been knowing 50 years, and him and I are just sick over this situation that happened down there in Memphis, Tennessee, like it's happened in Philadelphia with the move house being bombed by Wilson Good, a black mayor. It also has happened in Los Angeles with the Rodney King case. It also has happened in San Francisco with the Mario Woods case. And then recently in Huntington Park, California, which is a small city in L.A. County, where the police, you know, shoot this man who was a W amputee. I mean, the dude is in a wheelchair, man. You know, what threat is he? And like I said, I could see if they went in and whooped his ass. You know, I could see if they had tased him a little bit, but just to downright out there and murder him. But this is still a throwback to the American ethos of where it comes to the black male, where there is no value placed on him, none whatsoever, except for playing sports or except for going out there making these redundant, stupid black exploitation films of the 70s, this rap music, you know, the lyrics. I appreciate the art of rhythm and poetry, but people, please change, you know, the lyrics. If you want to call our beautiful black woman a B word, you refer to yourselves as NGRs and all this old type of stuff. Then white America, when you sit up there and bring to their attention of the atrocities that they committed against us, well, what about the black-on-black crime in the community? Well, that is the breakdown of the educational system. And we have had scholars that came on in and broke that down. Case in point, in the inner-city schools of Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Oakland, California, San Francisco, they always are sending the young black male to detention. They always, you know, coming down on him as opposed to letting him become a great scientist, a great thinker.
Okay.
Like,
okay. Let me cut in. Why do they send the black boys to detention?
Okay. Well, you know, they're saying, let's say they're unruly in the class. You know what I'm saying? You know, talking back to the teacher. Things of that nature right there is because, as you know, now currently the majority of black families are headed by a female household because, you know, American society has systemically have gotten the black male up out of the household. And a classic case of that was the welfare system. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. But let me ask this. If a child is acting unruly, should he go to detention? Should he be taken out of class? Because you're talking to a former teacher right here. Because I work with a whole bunch of black kids, and let me tell you, Some of them you want to go upside their heads and everything. But my thing
is,
a lot of times people say, well, they're more likely to be sent out of the class than the white kids are. But is it because they're misbehaving more than the white kids? Or is they just saying, I just want to deal with the black kids. You know, I just want to kick the black kids out. Because when I grew up in Prince George's County, Maryland, I went to all the schools I went to were about half and half. They were half white, half black.
Okay.
You know, of course now Prince George's County is pretty much 91% black now. But back in my day, back in the 70s and the 80s. They were half and half. And let me tell you, them teachers had no discrimination between the white kids and the black kids. If you were white and you were acting up, you got sent to detention or you got kicked out, sent to the principal's office, you know. But my thing is this, if a child is acting up in your class, they need to be disciplined.
Right.
And I don't give a rat's tail about what color they are. They need to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. And I work with a lot of them, about the education system being a benefactor to black on black crime and everything. I really don't believe that because you got these parents, they haven't grown up themselves, and they're having children, and they're not being parents to their children. This was something I talked about earlier today. A lot of people would rather enable these parents to be bad parents instead of saying, okay, your little Johnny is messing up in school, okay? You know, but the parents, they get mad and they're like, oh, well, it's your fault, you know, yada, 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 and everything. No. It's your fault because you're not giving your children an atmosphere that is conducive to their learning at home. You know, like I said, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. In first grade, I was reading on a third grade reading level. I was in the top 10 of, you know, for my age group in Prince George's County, you know, and I was out reading white kids and black kids. You know, I was out reading everybody. And, when I look at and I see some of the excuses that some of these black people make for why, you know, oh, we don't have an advantage like the white kids and everything. Look, you're talking about a kid who grew up in the tail end of the civil rights movement. And I was out reading everybody. Not only that, the white teachers, they were like, my goodness, this man can read. All the teachers knew me because I was a good reader, you know. So to me, it's a bad excuse. When we say, oh, it's the education and you know, and this and everything. No, we all have a mind. We all have the will to do right or the will to do wrong. We have that choice. But a lot of us choose to do what's wrong. And that's a sad state of affairs. But then when we do wrong, then we want to say, oh, it's because of systemic racism and because of white supremacy. And that's what I'm trying to get. That's what I'm trying to push across when I hear what they said about these black police officers beating down this black guy. It's like, oh, well, you know, that's, you know, the black bias runs so deep in the police force, it's even affecting the black police officers. To me, that's a cop out.
Okay, if I may say something, if I may, sir. Okay, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. You're a little bit younger than me because I went to elementary school in the 1960s, you know, at the height of the civil rights movement and the black empowerment era. Now you got to keep in mind is that the civil rights movement and the black empowerment era were two different elements of the same coin, because, you know, it was all about equality and what that. And there was this guy in Oakland, California. He was only 24 years old, and he had formed an organization, you know, prohibiting or protesting police brutality. And he had emphasized the Second Amendment rights, and they had labeled this man, keep in mind that this man got his doctorate degree from the University of California at Santa Cruz. They had a program, for upgrading the quality of the education, plus that they were feeding kids, you know, in the morning, those in the inner city, you know, who could not have, you know, breakfast at home, because as you know, there's a definite connection between the mind, body, and the spirit, okay? But then you would get guys like Larry Elders, okay, guys like Leo Terrell, guys like another dude by the name of Piaki, who I've had on my podcast a few times, you know what I mean, and I try to reason with him. But, you know, Piaki's Piaki, you know, which is his business, okay? But what it is that we got to have some type of cohesiveness, you know, within the black community, not so much here in the U.S., but throughout the whole diaspora, because we're the original man, you know what I'm saying? Look at the great feats that we had accomplished in a place called Kemet that the Greeks called Egypt, you know, the sciences, the mathematics, the concept of navigation, the concept of embalming the dead, the concept of, you know, philosophy and what have you. And then these boys that came from this place called Greece, and, you know, and they had a certain lifestyle, which is their business, you know, but on the continent, we had placed great emphasis on procreation, and that day only happens between man and woman. So I think, you know, we have to get to the children in their formative age, even like when they had little kindergarten and stuff like that, you know, to have them have a sense of themselves and be proud of where they come from, you know, just like the German kids do, just like the British kids do, just like the white kids in America do. You see what I'm saying? Just like what they're trying to get done down in the state of Florida with the same. It's all now. Well, we got to take this here about the school curriculum. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Let me cut in, because I'm about to get at the top of the hour and I have to do some advertisement. Would you say that because we were the inventors and everything and stuff like that? Would you say that we should be treated more special than anybody else?
Okay, well, basically, sir, what I'm saying is pretty much we need to focus on ourselves, you know, to upgrade the quality of our life, just like what you was reading there about Booker T. Washington, because I believe he started Tuskegee Institute, which later became Tuskegee University. And then, of course, we do know about the Tuskegee experiment, you know, where they injected black people, man, for syphilis for over a 40-year period. Okay,
should we be treated different? Should we be treated different than anyone else? Because, see, when I do this program, I don't have a political axe to grind or anything. First and foremost, I'm a born-again Christian. And I believe that we are all made in the image of God, no matter if we're black, white, yellow, whatever. I believe that we are made in the image of God. So I really don't believe that one race is to be esteemed over another. That's when we start screwing up. When black folks start saying, okay, we're the supreme race, that's when we start messing up. When white folks say we're the supreme race, that's when we mess up. When Asians say we're the supreme race, that's where we mess up. We are all made in the image of God. And God sees us equally. He doesn't say, okay, I got black people here, I got white people here, and I'm going to treat this race better than this one. No, that's not God, you know. So, I want you to hold on. Please hold on to the line. And I got a couple more other people want to come in, but I have to do my advertisements. And I'll talk to you after the top of the hour. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
All right. We are back at the top of the hour. You're listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. And if you'd like to be a guest to call into the show, the number is 646-478-5284. And before we left, I was talking to the host of our program called Shabaka's Black Experience. I think it's Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. I think that's what it is. I was talking to him before, you know, the top of the hour, and I want to let him on, and I also want to let on my other two guests that have their hands raised. Hello, gentlemen, welcome to the show. Hope you're having a good day.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, yes, brother Vince, boy, I'm telling you, brother Vince. Now look. Even though, you know, I don't agree very much with brother Shabaka, you're going to have to admit now, he ain't a fruit bat. He expressed himself rationally and reasonably. And there's one thing that he did say that I absolutely agree with, 1,000%. The black father is not present in the home to the extent that he should be, because, frankly, there is no better police officer for a young black man in his adolescence, whose testosterone is coursing through his veins, than a lovingly authoritative black father. That is the best police officer ever for a young black man, or in fact, a black man of any age. So I agree with him there. But look, Brother Shabaka, the reason I'm glad that you gave him sway to express his opinions is because even though his expressions are rationally and reasonably expressed, whether you agree with them or not, there are all too many in the racial industrial complex who don't express their opinions rationally and reasonably. They express them like a bunch of fascist bully boys. And we have got to get to the point where we oppose these ideas with our ideas and make people see why their ideas are not the best, why we think our ideas are superior, and why we think they're superior. And because in the end, if we want this country to maintain its status as a constitutional republic based on liberty, we'd better do it. And I'll tell you why. Remember I told you earlier when I said I was going to explain to you how this whole thing comes down, how it all fits together when they say, well, look, black police officers are racist. They're imbued with racism by a white supremacist system. It just inculcates itself into them whenever they swear an oath and put the badge on. See? Now, look, remember, the issue is never the issue with these folks. The issue is the revolution. You got to remember that. They're not, they don't care about black people. They cared about black people. They wouldn't have done all these anti-policing theories, no cash bail, letting chaos go on the street, turning the street into drug shooting galleries, letting prostitutes run wild and street walk in front of school kids. If they cared about black people, they wouldn't have done any of this. They don't. They care about fundamentally transforming the United States of America from a nation that is based in constitutional principles and principles classically based on transcendent objective truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, money, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. They don't believe that. And I'll tell you why. Because you are now hearing it in the theories they're espousing. The theories they're espousing relates to critical race theory. This all is another outshoot and a plank in critical race theory. And they love to tell us with their little sleight-of-hand tricks that we don't know what critical race theory is, and you're not teaching critical race theory in schools because that's a legal theory they teach in university and college. They're not really doing that. See, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, guess what? I do because I've read their books. I've got my little hot hand right now, Critical Race Theory, An Introduction by Richard Delgado. I got the other one, Derek Bell, considered the god, the father of critical race theory. Faces at the Bottom of the Well. And I got another book from Kimberly Crenshaw called Critical Race Theory, The Key Writings That Formed the Movement. I've read all three of these books. I think I understand quite thoroughly what critical race theory is and what it intends to do. And this little statement from the one of the progenitors of critical race theory, Richard Delgado, sums it all up very well. This is what he says here. I mean, you know, like I said, many people are sneaky. They are sneaky sneaky doesn't even begin to describe. Here's what he said. Now listen, critical race theory movement is a collection of activists and scholars engaged in studying and transforming the relationship among race, racism, and power. The movement considers many of the same issues that conventional civil rights and ethnic studies discourses take up, but places them in a broader perspective that includes economics, history, setting, group and self-interest, and emotions and the unconscious. Now here's a money shot. Check it out. Unlike traditional civil rights discourse, which stresses incrementalism and step-by-step progress, critical race theory questions the very foundations of the liberal order, including equality theory, legal reasoning, enlightenment rationalism, and neutral principles of constitutional law. In short, here's what they're saying. If you apply the law objectively and equally to black people, even though I know theoretically, that's only theoretically possible because of the individual variables among human beings, it'll never be realized anywhere, ever, at any time, ever. But even if you were to do it with perfect objectivity and precise application of law in every single instance, it still would be a racist result because the entire system and institutions in the United States, particularly those based in law enforcement, is based in white supremacy and racism, discrimination, genocide, oppression of women, and killing Indians. So there's no way to redeem this godless system. The only thing that can be done with it, you can't just give it to black cops and black police chiefs and black mayors and black city councils, because it's still the right thing won't happen because it isn't possible to do with this fundamentally flawed system, this racist system. So therefore, the only solution, logically, and they don't say it at this point because they know it would be silly to say it this way, so they tend to mute this part of it. But the only solution, obviously, if you're rational, is to tear it all down and restructure it along lines of, I don't know, sort of a ethnic racial hierarchy, intersectionalism. You heard that term before, I'm sure. Intersectionalism. Oh, yeah. Ethnic rights, group rights, all this stuff. That's what they're aiming for. They want to restructure not only the United States but all of Western civilization. They don't like the idea of individual rights and individual liberties. They think that leads to racism and discrimination. They want to tear it all down. Sometimes the more radical of them actually say it. Tear it all down. Burn it all down. Yep. They're the crazies. Most of them try to keep it arm's length. But really, that's what they're all after in the long run. They want to tear
sounds
all
like,
down,
and
they want to start with law enforcement.
That sounds like an attack on the Constitution, which we're supposed to defend to the very end.
Oh, no, they despise the Constitution. That's one of the first things they've got
to
get rid of.
They need to be rounded up and put in places where they should be with all the rhetoric that they come back. You know, this critical race theory and this black history. You know, Howard University, the prestigious black university, they had and have a charter school designed to feed black into their college because where they're coming from now, they can't maintain. They cannot stand the rigors of college. So you had some teachers in that middle school starting to teach outside of the curriculum, starting to teach black history. Guess what happened to them, Sarge? They got fired. They got fired by that black university. And I heard somebody earlier say that black men was taken out of the house. That is not true. Show me a law that caused black men to be taken out of the household back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It does not exist.
Exactly.
I was 23 years a police officer, and I'm telling you right now, there's no way I could be a better police officer for a young black man who has not committed a crime yet than a loving, authoritatively loving father, particularly a black father.
Exactly.
There is no substitute. There is no substitute for the black father. And these people are acting like there is. Government or single mother is no substitute for a black father devoted to his children.
Absolutely.
Let me cut in here on here. You know, and to Pianchi's point, you know, black fathers were not, you know, yanked out of the house like a lot of people say. When the welfare laws were instituted in the 1960s, I think it was the Great Society, War on Poverty and all that. What it did, it gave black mothers an incentive. And they were like, you know, it basically said you cannot get this welfare if there is a man living in your home. And so a lot of black women were like, well, hey, I don't need no man, but, you know, I can get these benefits and everything. So I don't need no man. So they weren't taken or yanked out of the household, you know.
And Vincent,
go ahead.
That's not how it went. That's not how it went. Because if you were married to a woman, you was a couple, if you needed welfare, you was allowed to get it. But what it said is that if you got people, grown-ups in the household, they have to contribute to whatever the formula says they need to contribute to. If you got one person,
okay,
then they get so much. If it's two people, then it reduces because two people bringing in income to help with the household would thus by lower the amount that the government would give to that house. That's what it meant. And you got idiots didn't want to contribute. They wanted to take it all. They were some jealous bastards. That's what they were.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think we're witnessing the onset of a really insidious philosophies that are coming to bear. Again, I believe if you look at the talk about reparations out there in California, you look at how they're based on literally a Nazi-esque style of racism, determining the amount of genetics adequate for you to get the reparations. This is right out of the 1935 Third Reich Nuremberg laws, for God's sake. We are hearing this sort of thing with racial meritocracy, racial hierarchy, diversity, equity, inclusion. It's all just a cover for this stuff. It's insidious and it's anti every aspirational notion that this country was based on. And yes, I know it ain't been perfect. I love history, and nobody, I don't believe anybody that I know, is more acute of all the atrocities that occurred in world history, to say nothing of United States history, than I am. I can recite the atrocity list as well or better than anybody living. But that isn't what any country is about, a study of its atrocities. What does it aspire to be? How does it correct past wrongs? What does it admit to? And in that case, the United States is pretty much head and shoulders over almost everywhere else in the world. And its notion of making an attempt to correct the wrongs, to acknowledge the wrongs, and to move forward, the United States is up there. No, it ain't perfect, and never will be, and you never can make it perfect because of human nature and the infinite number of variables amongst human beings. They have different talents, they have different attitudes, they have different proclivities, they have different work ethics, they have different measures of luck. You cannot equalize outcomes, and this is what these people are seeking to do.
Well, let me cut in here because the original caller had called in. I noticed he had dropped, but now he's back in. I want to give him some time to have a say on what you all have been sharing with me. You still there? Is Shabaka Black experiencing?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir. You know, I had to step away momentarily. The two individuals that you have right there, sir, I'm very, very familiar with them. And one gentleman whose name that starts with the letter P, he called up my podcast, and I had thrown him off the air erroneously. It's because my co-host was filling in for me, and I tried to apologize to that man. He spit in my face, so I really don't have too much to say to him. Sarge, I'm quite familiar with. Me and Sarge have been back and forth. And Sarge and I, we're going to have our debate, and we will continue to have the debate. But Sarge is right about one thing, is that they systemically, you know, had taken a black male up out of the household with the welfare system. Now, another thing, now I'm going back from memory now, and keep in mind I'm an old SOB, is when you had the women's Lib movement, the women's rights movement, what's her name? Gloria Steinem, I believe that it started it. When she went to the black woman with this stuff right here, they say that they also created another division within the black household and to ostracize the black male as well, too. It's because when you look at the former heavyweight champion, Muhammad Ali, who sacrificed his prime careers, you see what I mean, you know, for what he stood up and what he believed in. And then when he regained the title and when he did the article in 1974, boy, this is one thing about getting old, okay. 1974, he had put out in the article to rebuild the black family unit, the black community, and also to upgrade, you know, the black household, because, you know, because only a man can teach a boy how to be a man, and only a woman can teach a girl how to be a woman. So when Gloria Steinem came with that BS, you know what I'm saying, that day did a lot more to shatter the black family units, because the black woman is quick to tell you, and I love the black woman dearly, it's because a black woman bore me and what have you. She does control a lot of power in the household and in the nations of ancient African nations prior to the transatlantic slave trade. Women held a whole great deal of power. Queen Hatshepsut, okay, Queen Nzinga, and then Her Majesty Queen Aminah of what is in of Zazzau, which is now modern day Nigeria. She had 20,000 troops under her command. But see, but they don't teach this here in the public school system, you know, for black children. They should teach that in a public school for our children, for all children. And then when you look at racist institution. Let me finish, Sarge. I got one more sentence.
This is Vincent.
I'm sorry, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What I wanted to say was, there's only so much you can teach these children in school. I really believe that education begins at home, and
Of course,
a lot of what I know now, I'd say about maybe 80% of what I know now comes from learning outside of school. You know, doing my own research and reading and things like
right.
that. It's only because I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with you. Don't point the finger. Don't look at me funny or anything. The first time I heard about Till was in the 1990s, and they never taught
wow.
that. They never taught about Emmett Till in our schools. But I was glad that I learned about Emmett Till at the time that I did. You know, but it's only so much that they can teach you in the school, because they taught us a whole bunch of other things, a lot of other atrocities that went on during Jim Crow and everything and stuff like that. But some of the subjects they just can't get to, because it's so much to talk about, you know. But that's where I say the parents come in at. What are they doing with these kids at home?
Well,
you know, because a lot of our kids, and back in the day, we were lazy too. We were in front of the TV and everything, but a lot of parents are not putting their foot down and saying, okay,
right,
cut the TV off, cut the video games off. I'm going to teach you something right now. You know, and I'm not saying
you have
a PhD or anything to teach your kids or anything like that, but just make the atmosphere in your house conducive to your child's learning.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, sir.
And for Eric,
and if I may say, let me say this. Yes, sir. Okay. I got a memory as a child. I was 8 years old, okay? I was looking at TV one day, and my mother was in the kitchen cooking, and I'm looking to look at the Roadrunner, Bugs Bunny, Mighty Mouse, man, you know what I'm saying, the whole nine yards when you're a little kid. Then a special report had came on the TV, and this date, everybody in the world knows that it was April 4th, 1968. A news account announcer came on the TV and stated, well, you know, Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis. Okay. So my mother says, well, what was the news report? I said, I don't know, Mom. They just said some man named Martin Luther King got shot and killed in Memphis. And she hit the ceiling. Everybody was crying. The phones was ringing, you know, at the household. People in the neighborhood was, have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? Been up there in Oakland, California, the Black Panthers that came out there and they had did their thing, and then it was all over the news. And then, of course, you know, they showed his famous last speech that he gave in 1968, that we as a people should get to the promised land. Now, it's very, very important that Black children, you know, learn the ancestral history. Now, Sarge, I know you're going to go off because you and I have had this debate before, and right now I'm on this man's podcast, and I'm giving this brother his respect because I appreciate him for having me. But however, Pianchi, you know the number where I'm at, and so do you, Sarge, and we're going to be doing a show in the next couple of days. You guys know the number. Feel free to call in, but you're doing it at your own risk. Just be respectful and you'll be all right. And that there was a very, very tragic case, you say. And so then, of course, you know, the children had started learning about Dr. King in school. Now, about 2 months later, in Los Angeles, California, June the 6th, 1968, okay, there was another assassination in Los Angeles, and I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And I was looking at the Democratic National Convention, and me and my little sister fell asleep. So my mom comes up there, looks at the TV, and this is right after RFK had got shot. Okay. So then the phone starts ringing again and stuff like that. Everybody's up there up in turmoil, you know. So what happened? What happened? Well, you know, President Kennedy's brother, Robert F. Kennedy, got shot. He was shot at the Ambassador Hotel on Wilshire Boulevard near Normandy Avenue. And they had recently tore down the Ambassador Hotel within the last 7 years, and they built Robert F. Kennedy High School at that location. So it's quite essential if you're going to have some type of progress, okay, or some type of reconciliation, don't get upset because Black youth is learning about their culture. This rap garbage that they got calling Black women a B-I-T-C-H and I'm an N-G-R and all that. Man, that stuff is dispiriting. But however, I do appreciate the art of rhythm and poetry. Just make the lyrics positive to prove my point even further.
Well,
let's look at Lil Wayne. Yes, sir, go ahead.
I agree with you there, but where is it that people are upset that Black people are learning about their culture? Because I haven't seen that.
I don't see it anywhere. Can I say something to that, Vincent? There's nothing stopping Blacks from teaching that. They control the school districts in the quote-unquote hood. They call it that. I didn't. That's what the state law says in many states. Louisiana, it says that in Missouri, your textbooks, curriculum, and teacher instruction can be whatever the district wants, the local community wants. You know what the problem is? They don't want it. Hey,
no,
we worked to put African-centered curriculum. We worked to put African-centered curriculum. When I say we, I'm talking about the National Black United Front. I was the field coordinator for African-centered curriculum in the St. Louis chapter of the National Black United Front.
West.
They put it
Cornell
in
West.
They put it, and it was not Cornel West. You have that idiot. They put it, they had an African-centered curriculum throughout the Detroit public schools. You had it in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You had it in New York. You had it in St. Louis. You had it down in, mm-hmm. in Georgia. People did not want it. That's why come it's there no longer. You try to force this stuff on people. Now, if people want to teach critical race, man, would you let me finish talking? I don't told you about that stuff.
No, you ain't going to tell me anything. I'm
well, then if you don't like to talk, why you, when you talk, don't nobody say a word. We listen to your lecture.
Okay,
don't say my name. Would you let me finish the discussion? You disrespecting this man's show.
No,
yeah,
I'm
not. Let Bianchi finish his point. Yeah, let him finish his point.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
If you want to teach that critical race theory to your kids, go ahead on. But stop trying to force it on other, quote-unquote, black people's kids.
Mm-hmm.
You want to teach it in your schools? If you can get it in it, go ahead. Why come you teach it in your churches, your community centers, your libraries? Your school district today are a mixture of different cultures. These kids don't want to be hearing that. Then if you allow for that, then you got to allow for them. And really, it's nothing more than what I've inspected. You're trying to denigrate whites. You know, your main characters in your Black History Month, Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, they also represent white history. Why is that? Because they have white.
Okay,
all
well,
of
it.
You know, some guys,
okay,
look.
Hang on for
what...
a second. Marcus Garvey was not a black American. He was a Jamaican. He got ran out of there trying to expose or trying to promote his ideas. There's videos of kids throwing rocks at him. Now, as I said before, if you want to teach that to your kids at home, go ahead. Do it. Thank you.
Well, you know, I'm just want to respond to what the brother said about teaching your ancestry. Now, I'm explaining to you, brother Jabasaga, that I've had three, because I wanted to see if they would agree with each other, because I've heard rumors that these really aren't all that accurate. So I had three genetic tests run on me to see if they would agree. And they all agree. The only difference is in the amount of percentages. And one of them said I had ancestors from Finland. But I looked at my Negroid ancestors from Africa. I got ancestors from Nigeria, Senegal, Ivory Coast and Ghana, Benin and Togo, Cameroon, Congo, Western Bantu peoples. I also have ancestors from Mali, from England and Northwest Europe, France, Wales, Germanic Europe, and Ireland. Now, all of these people are my ancestors, but guess what? When I saw what my African ancestry was, I did research like you wouldn't believe. I've been reading books about the history and the peoples of Nigeria, Senegal, Benin, Ghana, the Congo, because, you know, I want to know my history. I want to know my ancestry. I want to know history in general. African history is significant. But here's what we don't need. We don't need a hierarchy of histories, particularly when it comes to the notion of what is important to children. The United States is based in Western civilization. It is the foundation stone at present day of Western civilization. Western civilization is where they're going to have to navigate. And they have to understand its philosophies, its antecedents, and its history probably more than any other. To include Asian history, which is also important. They're all important, but when it comes to giving a precedence, you know what it has to be.
Let me ask you this here, Sarge. Have you ever been stopped by the Los Angeles Police Department?
Have I been stopped by the Los Angeles Police Department?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've been to California.
Okay,
I had mountain warfare training at Fort Ord. But I never went to Los Angeles. I've been in California, and the cops I met in California were pretty courteous and professional.
Uh-huh. Check this out, man. Let me explain something to you. When I was 19 years old, okay, I got pulled over by the lap dogs out of Hollywood Division. Keep in mind that Hollywood is a section of the city of Los Angeles and not a city in itself. So, you know, he says, step up to the sidewalk. I did. And he pulls a 9mm and he puts it up to the back of my head. And he says, if you move your black ass 1 inch, I will blow your brains out from here to Imperial Highway. Say, man, do you know how far Imperial Highway is from Hollywood Boulevard? Okay. And this is what they would call a race soldier. Now, would you saying that you got this African history or African blood in you, your black ass would have qualified for the auction block, too. Look at a movie called Band of Angels.
But what, you talking to somebody I don't know already? That's not true anymore.
Okay. Shit. Okay. Go visit California, sir. Sir, visit a state called
California. Well, maybe you need to get better politicians and better public officials in California and get rid of the kind that would allow a police company to do things like that.
Hey, you'll get no arguments from me, man. The California politicians, in my opinion, all of them belong in jail, starting with Gavin Newsom and Nancy Pelosi. So you'll get no arguments from me on that. You know what I mean? But the cold part about it is that when you look at this rap industry, Snoop Dogg and all these guys, like the three rappers who came up dead in Detroit a few days ago, you see what I'm saying? It's the culture that they breed with that bullshit. And excuse my language, you know, I don't mean to cuss on this man's podcast, but you can... But you can cuss on mine, but I'm giving this brother here his respect, and I appreciate him for having me. And then, of course, me, you, and Pianki, man, we've been going back and forth, what is it now, about the last 3 or 4 years on about 5 different podcasts. Okay.
I have not been going back and forth with you no 3 years. Why do you and another caller like to put me in places that I have never been, normally?
Pianki.
Finish your story. I said what I had to say.
Great, fine, beautiful, you know. But what it is, though, but if you get the cohesiveness of the black family unit again, you will build better men and you will build better women. It's because I've said it on my podcast, is that the black woman is the original woman. Her attributes are amazing. But why do all these other race of women go to a place called Frederick's of Hollywood and try to get the attributes of the black woman? Riddle me that.
You know, here's the thing. There's no more. Right. Hang on for a second. There's no more morality, no more spirituality, no more good this or that or other in any particular ethnic group on the planet. They all human beings.
Man, check this out.
Yeah, and you're probably related to somebody in many of these other ethnic groups that you don't claim is your own. Whether you want to be or not, they're your ancestors, man. Just like whether I want them to be my ancestors or not, they are.
Why do we have to humble people over another? Because why do we have to do that? You know, we say, oh, the black mother is the original mother, you know, and it's almost like we're saying, you know, oh, she needs more respect than anybody else. She deserves no more respect than anybody else, whether be she black, white, or whatever. You know, we see, this is the thing that I've been talking about. You know, we get caught up in this, mm-hmm. and we're like, you know, well, I'm black, you know, and we need to uphold the black people. And I understand it. Okay. I understand being a person who wants to see black people come up out of their poverty and whatever and stuff like that. But we are not a monolith. You know, we all have our different aspirations. We have our different dreams, things we want to accomplish. And a lot of things we're not going to accomplish unless we're willing to work across the table with other races of people. You know, we can't just sit here and just, oh, we black people, we got to circle the wagons, you know, because the world is so bad. Look at what the white people did to us. Look at what the black people did to us or whatever. You know, one of the accusations people made against me at one time was that I choose to ignore the history that black people have gone through in this country, you know, the slavery, the Jim Crow laws and everything. And people think that, he just wants to ignore the history. He doesn't care about the history. He don't care about the history. I know the history. Okay. And the history really does upset me. And the reason why I talk the way I do is because I don't want to see black folks going the same way that the racist white folks did in the past. It's time to get over that. I know, you know, and I tell people often on this on this platform that history is a stain you can't wash out of the fabric of time. Okay, history is there for a reason. It's to teach us a lesson so we can go back and say, okay, this is what happened in history. Okay, here's the mistakes they made in history. Let's try not to make those same mistakes again. And that's the reason why I talk the way I do. You know, people say I'm trying to be white, and you know, you try to kiss up to the white man and you're a coon and all that. No, I don't want us to make the same mistakes that the racist white folks made in the past, okay?
Well, you can't make the same mistakes that racist blacks made in the past either. You know, the course
exactly.
of events that happened in
exactly.
history that led me to be here today, I am happy as hell they happened.
Amen. And not only that, sir, you got to remember, if you take out any one of my ancestors from the Congo or Benin or the Ivory Coast, I'm not going to be here. By the same token, you take out any one of my ancestors from Scotland or Saxony or France or Ireland, I'm not going to be here either. It took all of them to get me here, every single one, in the same way it took them to get you here. And I bet you find out you've got some hunkies in your woodpile, too. Just the way it is,
yeah,
man.
Well, now, Mr. Amos, I believe is your name is. I got to say this here. And hey, Sarge, and come to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, man, because we got something for you. I don't claim the blood of no rape and slave trading pedophile, okay? Thomas Jefferson was one of
them. You got it whether you want it or not.
Sir,
you don't have to claim.
Sir,
I don't expect you to claim.
Sir,
you've got it,
sir,
man. It's there.
Now,
if you want to excise part of yourself,
your
I don't
voice.
Know how you accomplish it.
You
how do you excise part of what you are?
Okay, gentlemen. One at a time. One at a time.
How do you excise part of what you are? How do you do that?
I stated what I said.
Now I'm going to ask you a question. How do you excise part of your physical being? How do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, check this out, man. Check this out. Okay?
No, are you going to answer my question or not?
I'm going to ask you a question. When
no,
I'm
you're
going to
answer my question.
And,
how do you
excise
part of your physical being?
Put that 9mm to the back of my head and said, I will blow your black ass from here to Imperial Highway and Hollywood
but
Boulevard.
But that's not answering my question. How do you do it?
I just did.
I have to. How
your
do
question.
You excise those
I got a question, too.
That you would find objectionable. How
I got a question.
All right, gentlemen, one at a time.
Okay, I'm telling him to answer my question, and he won't. Again, let me ask the question clearly. How do you cut out from yourself your physical being, whether you hate it or not? How do you get rid of it?
Sir, check this out.
Well,
the way how you get rid of it is...
He will not answer the question.
Hey, man, don't yell at me.
Why don't you just say you cannot do it?
Well, Sarge, let me ask a question here. You got diabetes in your family? If you got diabetes in your family, thank the Neanderthal.
Okay. Well, once again, the race
if you got type
di-
if you got type
pedophile.
2 diabetes in your family, thank
the
Neanderthal.
That is correct.
Slave trader. Okay. And what
See,
they
I know
should
you
have did.
My question. I just want to know. He did not answer my question. It was a legitimate question.
All right, one at a time.
Okay, when the European, the Neanderthal, the cave beast, and I did not want to go there, they didn't even know how to wash their asses, man. It was the Ethiopians that taught them how to wash their funky
All right, now
ass.
Hang on there for a second. Hang on
now
for a
you're
second.
Giving vent to your
hang on for a second.
Now he's
Blacks
giving vent
in America.
But
hang on for a second. Blacks
the
in America are not Africans.
Out.
You a long ways from that. And here's another point. If Africans love you so much, why did they get rid of your ass, your ancestors? And secondly, and thirdly, hang on for a second. See, there he goes getting all, he's getting upset, and he won't invite us to his show.
Give us a call, Piazza.
Let me tell you something. You got caves in Ghana, so you going to tell me that those blacks didn't stay in the caves?
I can't believe that I'm here now. You've been rationalized until now.
The opinion was living in caves. We were building pyramids, giving
you
a
was not building no damn pyramid.
You can't even maintain a store on the corner
in your neighborhood. How in the hell was you building goddamn pyramids?
Check with Dr. Ashwar Quaze, and he's a hell of a lot more educated than your sorry ass is, Pianki.
Your sorry ass ain't been out the neighborhood. Get the hell out of here with that crazy mess.
All right, look, man, let's not go off the rails here. Like you said, let's give Brother Vince respect for his platform, but we're asking you legitimate questions here, and you're getting angry with us.
I'm not angry with you for what you believe.
We're asking you legitimate questions. I see you raising your ankle. You're getting your ankles raised because you're not. You've never been faced with
you see how he acts, Vincent.
You don't know how to deal with them.
You see how he's acting? He's acting like a damn savage.
He doesn't know how to deal. He's never had to face these kind of questions before.
Savages were the ones who did not wash their hands. The savages were the ones.
You need to brush your teeth and let it
fall to your racist instinct. And you continually give vent to racism and bigotry. I mean, you're
let me get in here right quick.
You all, I'm hearing a lot of language going on, and I really want to tell everybody, please cut down on the language and just have respect for one another. Let's stop the personal attacks and everything and stuff like that. Let's just stick to the issue. You know, let's not attack one another. You know, you can attack their rhetoric and everything, but don't attack their, you know, their character or anything like that. You know, that's all I ask. I want a good, you know, discussion, you know, on this program. And, you know, and like I said, we're not all going to agree with each other. We're not always going to agree 100% of the time, but just be respectful for a person's point of view. That's all I ask. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Yeah, well, you know, terms like unwashed, nasty.
Okay.
Like, now, well, I mean, what race of people in history can you not attribute to at one time or another in history, and even today? None. There is none. So to make such
you
remarks,
know,
simply
you know,
unrequited, unrestricted bigotry.
Well, anyway, gentlemen, thank you for having me on. I got a podcast to prepare.
Get the lights on. Get the lights on.
516.
Okay.
People come to your show and try to steal folks? If they what they had got going on so good, would not the slaying that Billet and they would come would not work? You know why? Because the damn room is empty. Nobody listening
and
to that stuff.
And I have to speak to your point, Pianki, when you said that they got caves in Africa. I mean, you're sitting there talking about white people living in caves, but they got caves in Africa. Where do you think people, you know, people lived in caves in Africa?
Even just
in caves
from
in
something
America?
Just as simple as coming out the damn rain.
And,
I mean, really.
And wait a minute, you do realize that white people had kings too, and they realized that was part of the problem. They didn't want to be ruled over by kings. They got rid of their kings for the most part and substituted some kind of parliamentary or representative democracy. Kings were part of the problem. Kings sold your ancestors into slavery.
Exactly.
And Zynga sold slaves, her own Angolan people. Mansa Musa, he sold slaves to increase his wealth. These people are nuts as hell today. I tell you, I never seen it. Where do these folks come from?
Resentment is a big industry these days. They want you. Yeah. They want their constituents to live on a diet of past racial grievances, many of which never attached to them. They only know them in a historical sense. They never really experienced it in their personal lives, and they want to magnify it to the point of sometimes irrationality, so they'll tear the whole system. Remember, the issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. The revolution
Negroes,
is tearing it all down.
Negroes in America, the only ethnic group possess a technology nobody else have, and that's time machines. time machines. They can get in their time machine and go back 1,000 years. Good gracious, man. I like to do that myself and check some things out.
And not only that, they'll go back 1,000 years and they will dwell there and stay there.
Yeah. And when he was talking about someone putting a 9mm to the back of his head, you know, we're not sitting here denying that that happened to him. But basically what we're saying is that that was back then. That doesn't happen on the most part today. You know, back then we did have racial problems and everything and stuff like that. But that's not happening today.
He may have needed
and,
it. I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of us get into our time-traveling DeLoreans to go back in the past and bring up those grievances from the past
DeLorean.
And put them here and put them here in the present. It's not going to work because we're – I mean, I have yet to see a whites-only and a blacks-only water fountain. I have yet to see that. You know why? Because there were people behind me who came before me who made sure that we didn't have to go through that.
But wait a minute, Vince. You know, so, you can see some black-only organizations like the Congressional Black Caucus. They don't allow whites in there.
They don't allow blacks to come into it.
They don't allow conservative blacks to go in there either.
No,
exactly.
They're real segregationists.
Exactly.
That's today.
And, you know, a lot of times – a lot of times with these award shows, they talk about, oh, well, they snub.
Let's talk about these police officers.
Award show.
Let's talk about these police officers.
Yeah.
You always hear this group talking about we need to have our own this, our own that. In this case, we need to have our own police to patrol our communities because whites don't understand the culture. We need a black police chief. We need a black city council. Black mayor. Well, you have all that down in Memphis.
Yep.
You have black police officers. You hire them because they understand the culture. But damn, is not the culture in black communities called whoop ass? Come on now.
I mean,
it's called whoop ass. How many times do you hear blacks talking and bragging? Yeah, man. We walking down the street and we were doing something bad. Miss Sally would come off the porch and do what? Whoop our ass. And then send us home and we get what? Another ass whooping.
But, you know, the thing of it is they're trying to say that now that we've put black people in all these institutions, this only proves what a failure the whole system is because it'll never root out racism because it's embedded in the system. Like I said, the issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. They want to replace it with their idea of hierarchies and their idea of injustice. And believe me, what they want to replace the present system with is an even greater injustice than what exists. I'm confident of that if it ever comes to that.
Yeah, and, you know, when they talk about and just like Pianchi just said, you know, we always crying, we need to have our own, we need to have our own police patrols and everything. Well, we got it, and then they misbehave, and then we want to blame white supremacy on it, you know.
Well,
I mean,
you know, I'm
going to
tell you something.
It's like, what do you want?
I ain't taking up for the police, but it ain't the police. It's the people they come in contact with, especially in these communities. Black males are the biggest criminals when it comes down to crimes in these cities than any other ethnic group. And they only make up less than 6% of the population. Just
that's
think about
3%.
That.
3%. Because there's 17 to 34-year-olds that are doing most of this.
They make up less than 5% of the population, Vincent. That's creating all this damn crime, man. And look what it costs people. Why do they have to have three jump-out squads, units, in Memphis? Most of the blacks left Memphis. And you know who's left? These poor elderly blacks that's on Social Security or whatever, they are suffering. Now, guess what? After these damn settlements, and I'm going to tell you something. There's two things I believe. One, a lot of blacks are cursed. Hell, you can read it in the Bible. Two, I believe some of these families sacrificed their black sheep to the family for settlement money. But now they're going to have to raise the rate taxes in Memphis. And who's going to be suffering from that?
Vince, do you know that according to extensive research conducted by the Crime Prevention Research Center, where they went to every single one of the more than 3,300 counties in the United States, they went to every single one, and they asked them for their records on homicide for the last 10 years. Do you realize, Vince, now sit down and buckle your seatbelt. 85% of all the homicides committed over the last 10 years, on average, 85% are committed in 31 of the 3,300 counties in the United States. Let me say it again. 85%. It's in 31 counties. The top 10 cities of which, all of which are run by Democrats. All of them.
Repeat that again. 85%
of all homicides in the United States are committed in 31 counties. That leaves 2,970 or so. Yeah, I mean, you know, a bit more. It's a little bit over 3,300 counties. They have either one, two, or three homicides or none at all. None. And again, 85% of the homicides occur in 31 counties in the United States, and the top 10 of which, the top 10 cities, are all run by Democrats.
That's sad.
You know what the face is of those that's committing the crime? They BLACK. Blacks.
Yeah,
and that's a fact.
That's a fact.
Just like this, guy Nichols. When Nichols was first encountered, if he had went on and put his hands behind his back, like the police officer was trying to put the cuffs on him, he'd probably be living today. The second part of the incident never would have happened. But he got to up and run, talking about he's scared. But wait a minute, if he's afraid, where did he get that from? Well, could it possibly come from the NAACP putting out their ridiculous statement that blacks traveling through the state of Missouri stand a chance of being killed by white police? So if you're coming from Kansas, you mean to tell me you're supposed to drive north all the way up to Iowa and come across to go down in Illinois if you're trying to get to Chicago? So, or you got to go way south to Arkansas, cut through Kentucky, back into Illinois. You're supposed to bypass Missouri altogether. That is irresponsible, and they need to share the blame of the reaction and the behavior of blacks who run from the police.
Yes.
And not only that, you know, like when I say homicides, Vince, I'm excluding suicides. I'm not talking about suicides where someone deliberately commits suicide because they want to end their lives. I'm talking about the intentional killing of someone by another. That's what a homicide is. When you intentionally kill someone, and it's not you that does the killing of yourself. That's what a homicide is. And they're all occurring there with these Democrats doing this. And let's face it, these homicides are occurring in places where they are literally letting the worst criminals back on the street who are likely to reoffend almost immediately when they get back out on the street.
Yep.
They're doing it to black people. Black people who are not criminals. The overwhelming majority of black people, after all, even if we do have a disproportionate amount of violent young black criminals in our neighborhoods, still the overwhelming majority of black people are not criminals. But they're being victimized by them.
Yeah, so can you give me that stat again about the counties? The 3,000 counties.
Go to the Crime Prevention Research Center. Just places .org, one of those .org places. They got all the stats there. They went to every single county. Because, see, not every single county reports their stats to the Uniform Crime Report the FBI keeps. Okay? So the only way you're going to find it out is to directly inquire those counties. And these researchers went to every county in the United States over a period of 10 years. They went to every county. They asked them for their homicide records. So they got a pretty good picture, because homicide's one of the harder crimes to hide. You can fudge maybe burglary or car theft. You could kind of do that if you want to kill crime and make it look like crime isn't as bad as it is. It's kind of hard to hide a homicide because it got a dead body, you know, usually. Usually got a dead body.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to hide
Well, you know, here's another thing. You say these black police officers kicked and beat Nichols to death, right? Well, what about the five blacks that kicked and beat that white kid to death on the playground down the street from LeBron James High School? You don't hear nothing about that?
No, we certainly don't. And you know what else we don't hear about? We had an incident happen in California a couple of days ago where a black motorist hit a white man on a bicycle.
Yep.
And got out of the car and stabbed him to death We didn't hear about that. You know.
Yeah, he was talking about his white privilege when he stabbing him to death.
Yeah.
He didn't even know this man. They didn't emulate. They apparently had no relationship whatsoever. He saw a white man on a bicycle apparently, and ran him over and knocked him off his bicycle, injured him severely while he's lying there on the ground. He comes out, stabs him to death, talking about his white privilege according to witnesses.
Yeah, we don't hear about the Waukesha.
I don't hear about that. We're going to hear about Brooks in Waukesha with his little out of control SUV that ran over people by itself, apparently. SUV runs over people in Waukesha.
And they went to his apartment and found all sort of manifestos that he gonna kill white people. No, Emmanuel? How about the man? How about the black man from Kansas City? They drove down to Baton Rouge and stood over a police officer and killed him. He wrote in his manifest he's going down to kill whites too.
The guy who
you
killed
know, I tell
the,
you what,
police officer.
Give me all your Dallas. Emmett Till. Give me all your Emmett Till stories, and I would match you 2-1 on what blacks have done something just as egregious. I'm talking about America. You dare not go with me to Africa. The blacks in America are not no damn Africans, man.
And when interracial violent crime does occur, and it's relatively rare for both races because most violent crime is committed against someone of your own race. But when it does occur interracially, black offenders commit interracial violent crime at roughly 300% more than whites do.
When white women reports rape, about 30-some-odd% of their attackers are black males.
Yeah. We
got to stop with this. We got to stop with it. It's not.
If whites are so damn nasty, why are you raping these white women?
We're not telling the truth about crime. We're not telling the truth.
For real.
You're never going to fix
very
the
rarely
if you don't tell the truth about it.
They don't tell the
very
truth
rarely,
about a whole lot of stuff.
Very rarely do you hear about a white person raping a black woman, if ever. You know.
I'm going to ask you a question. Why come these people come to your show trying to get people on your show to come to their show?
Because you know where the people is at.
That's their freedom.
And notice whenever they talk about what black women getting raped by white men, they got to go back to antebellum days, and you're right after the Civil War, stuff like that. Because today, white men raping black women is statistically insignificant. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but statistically,
let's talk about Sally Hemings. Let's talk about her. How many times did Jefferson take her to France? Yeah, she hated Jefferson so much, she could have asked and got asylum and stayed in France.
Yep, certainly could have. Because France was pretty friendly to black people at around that time. They were fairly friendly.
You see, we wouldn't last 2 minutes in a damn CRT class talking black history or black studies.
No.
Because we know the opposite of what the shit they be talking about.
Oh, man, they kick us out in the heartbeat. Please.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of getting kicked out, too. I say, I got kicked out of CRT. They couldn't stand the truth. Couldn't stand the fact.
You know what? Guys. I'm going to tell you something else. And I'm going to tell you, like I said, I'm glad that the things that happened because I'm here. But the things that happened during what you call Jim Crow, if they didn't happen, you never would have had a Jackie Robinson and Negroes breaking into the baseball league. You never would have had it.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'm going to go as far to say that I'm glad these events happened, but I know this much. I wouldn't exist, and neither would anybody on this telephone if they hadn't, because that's the way history is. It's like a paradox. You know what the word paradox means? Well, this is a paradoxical thing to say. The transatlantic slave trade created, and I'm going to say this very specifically, and I don't want anybody to take it the wrong way. Take it exactly the way it's meant to be for what it is on its surface. The transatlantic slave trade led to the creation of the freest, the most prosperous population, large population of black people in the world today. Now, I'd like to have a substantive argument against that truth.
And too, Sarge, and I agree with you so much because there's a scripture in the Bible where it says that whatever whatever man made for your bad, God turned it out for your good. So when you're going through something, you know, it might not seem good at that time, but in the future, it creates something that is good, you know. So no one's really saying, "Oh, I'm glad my great grandmother got raped because I wouldn't be alive today." No, we're not saying we're glad anyone got raped.
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, Vince, I know how much I like history, Vince. You know, I read history all the time.
Yeah.
When I read the atrocities that were committed against black people, sometimes it kind of makes me tear up a little bit, and I don't like to get emotional like that. You know, it does. You know, I do, and it does, too, because, you know, atrocity is an atrocity against human being.
Yeah.
No matter where along the historical spectrum it happens, or no matter what region it occurs in, it is all atrocious. But the thing of it is, that is a common theme throughout human history and throughout all civilizations. Conquest.
Absolutely.
Rape, evil, it's common amongst us. There is no large or significant group of the human population that is not engaged in it at one time or another or still engaging in it today. None.
Yeah.
And what gets me is they want to single out the United States as being something peculiarly awful when it's not true at all. Yes.
Yeah. One of my greatest.
Yes, I want to continue to relate and to educate people about those atrocities because it's important to know that about your history. But to dwell on it is destructive, corrosive, and wrong.
Exactly. And two of my greatest historical characters, one is Robert E. Lee and his courageousness in the Mexican-American War, and the other one is George S. Patton. Vincent, I'll see you next time.
Don't forget the Wizard in the Saddle, Nathan Bedford Forrest, who also had to do with the founding of the Ku Klux Klan and also rejected the Ku Klux Klan later on.
Thank you.
So people are contradictions. You know, Nathan Bedford Forrest was a hugely courageous. He wasn't the gutsiest son I've ever read about. I mean, this guy had more raw guts and military talent than almost anybody you'd ever think to read of. You ought to read his story. It is amazing. It reads like something out of a Hollywood novel. But he was a slave trader.
Okay.
He was a slave trader. Yeah. He was a smuggler. He helped to found the Ku Klux Klan, but when he realized what the Ku Klux Klan had turned into, he rejected the Ku Klux Klan, and he worked for racial peace in Tennessee later. He was, like many people, marvelous people, he was a bunch of contradictions. That's the way these things go sometimes, baby. It's just the nature of human beings.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to we're in the archives right now, and I see my earlier caller. He had called back in. And you know, I'm not being disrespectful by not letting you on because, you know, I'm just out of time and whatever. You know, wow, today's show was wow. Okay. And a lot of times people will see, they'll come to the show and they'll see an exchange like that and they say, well, Vincent, you done lost control of your show and everything. Some things I permit, you know, I just want people to, you know, get out what they need to say and whatever. But yeah, you know, of course I can probably come in and say, you know, hey, you all, let's respect one another and stuff like that. But sometimes that's how it goes, you know. So, but anyway, great show today. Really, I almost feel like I didn't want to do a show today, but I'm glad I did it. Next week, God willing, I should have another version of Black by Color, only I don't have any plans next week. I don't think so. But anyway, you know, those of you all out there who know the truth, know the facts and everything, keep standing on that. And, you know, I just got distracted by something. But anyway, you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe. And this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You all have a great weekend.